Welcome to the part of the podcast where we're concerned for the youth and the future.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, presented by CinemaSins.
Welcome to Behind the Sins, a weekly look at everything going on inside the world of CinemaSins. I'm Aaron Dicer, and I'm joined this week by Jonathan Watkins.
Hello.
And Nate Hughes.
Have not yet been fired.
We write for CinemaSins and TV Sins and do various other things inside the CS universe as well. Another week and we're still here. They're still letting us do this thing. Having a good time. How's everybody doing?
Doing great.
Danae?
Yeah, I'm good.
Okay. You said you wanted to talk about donuts.
And oh,
I'm
man.
Like, if there's a part of the show to talk about donuts,
it's now.
It's right now. Like, we're going to get into the nitty gritty here soon.
Well, I put a poll up on Twitter because I'm having this struggle and I'm curious what you guys think. So I guess we can just start with that.
Okay.
Here's the question. If you find a donut shop that you really love, they make a really, really great glazed donut.
Mm-hmm.
The best donut maybe that you've ever had ever in your entire life. Let's just say it's that situation.
By the way, this donut shop is just a few blocks from where I live. So,
so freaking good. I've been there in the morning when they're very fresh, and I've eaten them. And then we went there at the very end of the day, around 1 p.m., and they're not as fresh because obviously it's 1 p.m.
Sure, yeah.
But at the end of the day, they give away free donut holes because they're trying to, like, get the donuts out the door rather than let them go to waste. So my question is, do you go in the morning when they're fresh, or do you go in the evening when they're still good, but you have free donuts as well?
Yeah, we don't have the free donut giveaway here that I'm aware of. Is that like a normal thing for all donut shops?
I've never been handed a bag of free donut holes. Two bags of free donut holes, and they were offering us a third because our kid was in the back seat.
Danae doesn't care if this applies to anybody else. She just needs to know for her own life if this is something.
I'm okay
that,
with the conversation, but I'm just you go fresh. That's
yeah. I mean, you because I mean, you know, I mean, and we're not talking about. I mean, a couple bucks. I mean, yeah. I mean, I think it's worth it.
I totally agree. I voted in that poll. I voted fresh. I still feel that way. Although I do think the best answer was Josh, who chimed in and said, "Why only go once a day?"
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, yeah. Well, that, I mean, that's the other option is go fresh and then go free later.
Yeah. Yeah. It was really a big surprise. My husband's love language is food. And so as she was handing free donuts through the window of the car.
He fell in love with the drive-thru attendant lady?
He was in love. He was so happy. He had glistening, like, happy tears in his eyes.
Glazed tears.
So I have this feeling that we're never going to be going for fresh donuts again. Which I'm okay with because they're still great. But the poll as of like this moment, which will have ended by the time the episode releases, is in your favor. Yeah, fresh is winning for sure.
Is it like runaway?
Go ahead, sorry.
No, it's really close. It's 55% fresh.
Oh, okay.
And 45 freebies.
In general, 55% fresh is not something you want, but
no.
But in this case.
No.
Thanks for helping me talk about that. I just, you know, this is a major struggle of my life right now. You know, some people having real huge problems in their life, mine's about donuts. So,
well, you get to eat donuts though. See, I got diagnosed with a gluten allergy a couple years ago, which I've been told by many people is fake.
Thanks people for butting into my life with your beliefs and ideas.
People get really, really, that gluten thing just sets people afire. It's crazy. Yeah. But, gluten-free donuts are terrible, at least the ones I've had. So that's something I've had to just let go, which is very sad. But my wife and daughter are more than happy to enjoy them around me. So,
I get
secondary high off of them, I guess.
Nice.
Aww.
I totally misunderstood and thought it was to go gluteus free, and so I have no butt. So that was my choice, but I didn't realize.
So. I just had this memory of when we were working in the radio station together, Aaron, and you were talking about how important wearing a belt is in your life because you have no butt.
Oh, I'm the same way. No, I can relate to that. You have to wear a belt.
And then there was this one day we were traveling, and I think you had to go through the airport security check without your belt on.
Yes.
And it turned into like a really uncomfortable situation.
She was like, can you know, put your hand? I was like, I can put my hands up, but things might happen.
Like, I will lose my pants.
Yes.
No, I have no butt, and I'm a weird waist size. So like, it's just impossible to get stuff. It's either got to be too tight or it's a little loose, and I prefer a little loose.
You can't eat donuts. This is awful.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Yeah. How are we going to transition, Aaron?
Speaking of donuts.
Speaking of buttless, I don't know, how do you transition over to the next part of what we're going to do today?
Well, let's get into it at least. Let's kick things off by looking at the past week in the world of Cinema Sins with the Sinside Scoop.
What's he building in there?
So let's take a look at the videos from the week. We're going to talk about the process of sending them, what we thought about the things, the actual shows and movies and music videos in general. We'll just kind of go through them as we went through the week. On Monday, TV Sins released The 100. Jonathan and I wrote on that script. Mm-hmm. And I never saw this show. This was my very first experience with it, is watching the pilot. And Jonathan, I think you watched at least for a while. Is that right?
I think I finished the first season, if I remember correctly, because it was when it came on. So this was what, 2014 or something, 15.
Yeah.
So, but it's a bit of a culty hit, and those CW shows always do really well for us.
Danae, had you ever heard of it, seen it before you watched the Sins video on it?
No, but it certainly seemed to, it wasn't surprising, like the sins and the jokes and the fun that were kind of poking at mm-hmm. the show and the holes that were, you know, making in their plot or whatever, the whole love triangle thing. I mm-hmm. thought that was brilliant because it's so true. Most of those teen comedy looking kind of thing, or not comedies, but the teen shows on CW are always about there being multiple people in love with each other. And I was like, oh, yes, that is one of the things that makes me roll my eyes.
We send the superhero shows on the CW. We also mm-hmm. send Supernatural, which is on the CW. And Vampire Diaries. And as we're sending these things, at first it was just kind of a joke because, you know, a couple of them were this way. But I'm starting to realize they literally have a checklist with these shows. It's insane. Yeah. Like, and I will tell you this. There's a moment in the 100 video towards the very beginning where I say something about the CW checklist. And if one of these young people doesn't, you know, take off some clothes, you know, by the end of the episode, I'll eat my hat, or I'll eat your hat, or whatever the sin was. Mm-hmm. And I had not seen the episode when I wrote that sin. I just want to be very clear that I wrote that sin before I knew that somebody took off their pants later in the episode to take a swim.
Yeah, but you knew that was going to happen.
You know, that's what I'm saying. It's so obvious. It's just like... And this one especially is just like manufactured. It's like, how can we get the most good-looking young people in one area at the same time? And it's just like, oh, what if we, you know, send 100, for whatever reason, this society has decided that, you know, the youth juvenile detention holders are all going to go down and test out a new earth. You know, it's just like, it's just tailor-made.
But that kind of book is something I would have loved to read.
Right.
You know? Where you're in that part of your youth where you want to be apart from the adults and you want to have your own say and you want to have your own government and, you know, you want to do your own thing in a brand new way. I would have totally read something like that whenever I was, you know, younger. And CW is one of those eye roll and then you kind of get into it. You don't want to, like a Supernatural kind of thing. You're like, I don't,
it's
or
very,
Buffy, you know, one of those.
It's very Lord of the Flies. And I thought of it afterwards, but I probably would have gone with the Lord of the Thighs joke at some point, you know, somewhere in that. But it has that feeling of Lost or Lord of the Flies or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever. But all with the CW sheen of beautiful young people getting in love triangles.
Oh, yeah. So. Were these people arrested for being sexy? I mean, my wife and I watched Supernatural for a while, too. And that was one we always made a joke about. And then kind of like you, once we watched other CW shows, realized this was just the thing they did.
But yeah.
Like, there's not an unattractive person anywhere. And I mean... I guess that's all in the eye of the beholder, but I mean, they go out of their way to where, you know, it doesn't matter what part of the country you're in either. And that was the funny thing about Supernatural. It's like the people in, you know, Alabama look exactly like the people in California and Hawaii and wherever they go.
Yeah. It's a very sameness to the whole thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Anything else about this show or this video that you guys wanted to bring up and chat about?
It literally starts on a shot of boobs.
Yes. Yeah, fair enough.
I mean, it's not even hiding it. It's just like,
it's not subtle.
Here's some,
it's that first big zoom in right into some cleavage.
And then, holy shit, is that a vagina? That was one of my all-time favorite sins to read from an Aaron Dicer script.
Yeah, we'll get into that in one of the further segments of this
Aaron's
wonderful
mom.
Podcast. But yeah.
What, did you Google search that or something?
I may have Google searched something.
Oh my gosh. Comments, I can understand if there's comments about it, but okay. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that one.
Good.
The Soren outtake was amazing, and I had forgotten about it. And then when I reviewed the video, I was at California.
Yeah.
And we had literally ridden Soren about an hour before. I got to hear Patrick Warburton.
That's what that was from. I knew that from somewhere, but I couldn't figure it out.
Oh man, that's one of my favorite things that has popped, because it literally looks like a Disney ride in that show.
It did.
With the screens on the wall, and the guy pops up on the screen and, hey, passengers, if you're going to see,
it's perfect.
It was perfect.
And it's Patrick Warburton too, so it's a great voice. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I do that all the time. We'll be like, hi, I'm Patrick. We'll just say that out of nowhere. And then the one thing about this show, I think we kind of talked about this when we were doing the script, but this show has a lot of potential, and it kind of gets caught up in all those, that CW shticky stuff. But, there's that great scene at the end where the guy gets, Jasper gets shot that you're not expecting to happen. But then I forgot about this until I read some of the comments and stuff, which we can talk about later, but like that dude, but he doesn't die. Like, he's around for a long time.
How do you not die from being
speared?
And
it's kind of like, what a waste. And this was a situation where you really could have been like, you know, no one's safe, but then they kind of wimp out on it.
No,
I also
fine.
Like the adult dynamic, though. They have the adults up on the space station, which is not something you always get in CW shows. They seem dumber than the kids, but
that whole thing with the life bands is such a crock, because it's like, you don't even need to be a doctor to know that when all the vitals disappear at the same time, they took off the life band. If they had died, the heart rate would have fluctuated.
Something
the temperature
would have
decreased slowly. Like, it's silliness to think they would have interpreted that as death, right? Like,
for sure.
That thing bugged me.
It's not silly if they're dumb.
But I don't think
it's not even that could be a possibility, but like they don't even mention the idea, oh hey, maybe they're taking them off, like somebody doesn't even, I mean, just one person just needed to say that.
Yeah, the problem is if one person says that, then everybody's
then
like,
it makes
oh
sense.
Yeah, that's exactly what they're doing.
And then Desmond from Lost can't, you know,
right,
go on a crazy start killing people for no reason.
Man culture sure did change quickly, huh, in less than 100 years.
There's a lot of that person in this show. Like, you've got, you know, you got Dr. Burke or whatever from Grey's Anatomy,
right?
You got Desmond from Lost. You got some Battlestar Galactica people.
You got April from the Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, you got April from the Ninja Turtles, which I completely forgot about until you put that scene in.
Oh man, my only other thing with this show is, if you're going to name it the 100, I want you to have some consistency with your numbers. Like,
I want
you to care about that. I know I'm probably a little weird like that, but I felt the same way about The Blacklist, where it's like one of those things where I know you're just throwing names and a number up there. You're not actually caring about what this Blacklist is. And I felt the same here. I'm just like, okay, you know, I want you to keep track of the 100, and now we're at 98. And then is there any of that later in the season where they're like, you know, oh, it's down to 92 or.
I don't recall there being, but I could be wrong.
I think I read in some of the comments that it was based on a novel and there was like a reason for it, but they didn't expound on why.
It is based on a book. I at one point I was thinking about reading it, and I didn't read the reviews of it were not great, so I was like, yeah, I'm good. But I don't know what all happens in the book versus the TV show. What I remember, it was just mostly like, you know, just developing all this stuff down there, and there was a lot of love triangle and, you know, stuff like that going on because it's a CW show. But I don't remember them getting too much into the number aspect. But that's just a me thing.
I don't know that everybody feels that way. Any other thoughts on this before we move on to our first movie of the week?
Nope.
No, I'm good.
All right. On Tuesday, How to Train Your Dragon 3 released. This was an Atkinson Dicer Hughes script. So Danae and I both wrote on this. This was a fun one. I love this series of movies. I'm a huge How to Train Your Dragon fan. Mm-hmm. The first movie still remains as one of my favorite movies of all time.
HTTYD.
It's my favorite. It's probably my favorite DreamWorks. I will give it that. I really like Kung Fu Panda, though. But
that was a fun movie.
Yeah, Kung Fu's good.
It's How to Train Your Dragon is something else. It's excellent.
You know, the third one is the worst of the three, which isn't awful because, you know, I think the second one's really good, too. But it has more story issues. It really has some villain issues that it goes through. And yet for me, I still come away from it going, I'm so glad this movie is out there. I had such a good time with it. I think it's gorgeous. It's a really beautiful you know, movie to watch.
Yeah, there's a scene in this one that was super breathtaking for me.
The Hidden World scene?
Not when they go underground.
Not the Technicolor section?
No. It's when they're on the dragon. Is it Starfly or something? I'm sorry. Don't come at me. It's Astrid's dragon.
I'm coming at you right now. I have no idea.
So it's Astrid and Hiccup, and they're going to find Toothless.
Mm-hmm.
But it's when they had just discovered the waterfall, and they're sort of flying around the edge of the waterfall.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And it's just the way that the camera angle is shot. It reminds me of if there was somebody that was on a helicopter shooting it from a distance, you know, like how humans would find to do this shot. If we had the ability to film this moment, this is how it would look. It kind of even had a little bit of shaky cam going on. It could have been a total still shot because it's obviously all CG.
Right.
But
yeah,
the way that they shot that one, I was stunned by that particular. It's really, really beautiful. The whole thing is beautiful. But that particular moment was, for me, really emotional and kind of stunning.
I really love this movie. It's my favorite animated movie so far this year. I don't know how much that's saying other than Toy Story 4. I don't even know if there's anything else that would be in the running.
Yeah.
And currently on my Letterboxd rankings, although I've only seen 40 films from 2019 so far, so I'm sure this will change by the end of the year, but it's in my top 10. It's actually in my top 5.
Oh, nice.
So I really got a lot out of this movie. I actually think I liked this better than the second one. I haven't seen the second one since, like, it's been a few years, but that's just a very depressing movie. That's all I remember. There's a lot of death.
There is. And that may be the reason I put it above the third, is because I feel like, unlike what we were just talking about with the 100, mm-hmm. where people come back from spears in the heart.
Oh, yeah, there's stakes. Yeah,
there are stakes here, and there's, you know, there is real sacrifice in How to Train 2. So,
but I loved the Hiccup and the girl. I liked that whole thing that you guys kept comparing to WALL-E.
I mean,
not that WALL-E is actually in that scenario is really that original either. I mean, I just always think of Lady and the Tramp. So, but as far as like different species getting together, I guess.
All right, this is a good time to go into this because it's all over the comments. So, it was a sin that I wrote, and so this is a good time to go into this. Let's talk about Night Furies and Light Furies for
a
second.
Let's do it.
This is all going to come down to the fact that this movie is confusing as all get out on this subject. That is the sin. There are some explanations that actually Night Furies and Light Furies are different species. The movie does not make that clear because they look identical other than their color. And the only Night Fury we know is male, and the only Light Fury we really know is female. However, there are some other fury type dragons in the background during the fly into the hidden world or whatever.
Yeah, when we were reading the script and we were kind of putting all of our, you know, perspectives together and we're doing our combination of our scripts, your perspective on the confusion about it, I was like, well, there are some in the background, and so quite a...
And I think you even called them females. There are more females in the background or whatever because they were white.
Right. So it's, no matter what, it's confusing. Oh, maybe they weren't all female. Maybe that's just a similar species.
Right.
Did you do any, like, research afterwards to kind of look into it?
I did. I mean, I did research while I was, you know, writing
it.
And there wasn't anything that I found that really just laid it out. Apparently there are books and all sorts of things that
all
are
material.
Wow. And
yes.
I
thought this was just made up for the movie.
Apparently Toothless is the last of his kind, and
yes,
the Light Furies are a similar species
that's
not the same.
That's ridiculous, though. They are this look, even horses, let's say you crossbreed a horse and a donkey, right? That's possible, right?
Yes.
Those animals look very different. right? They are similar in, you know, structure, and but you can tell a horse from a donkey. You cannot tell a Light Fury from a Night Fury. They're identical animals. Do you know? You understand
They're
what I'm saying?
They're not identical,
Aaron. Yeah, I know.
Aaron.
I do no, completely
I'm
get it.
I'm going to die on this hill. Here's the hill I'm dying on. Even in the movie, Hiccup is describing to his friend how to change, you know, the cards that they make to kind of like identify all the dragons. He's drawing up this new Light Fury, and he's like, no, you have to change the tail. No, doesn't have a fin here. No, you know, so he's making him correct it. But I was confused, like, is that just because the females are built different?
Right, exactly.
Or, yeah, so it's still not, they are different. They're not exactly the same.
Yeah, I think I know
that.
But
it's not clear.
But it is so confusing.
I love how the comments, though, were just like, it's, you know, this is this and this is this. And I was like, ooh, they've done their research.
That's right. You don't want to mess with the dragon fans.
They know. There was one thing I read, too. It's like, technically, the Light Furies have a parrot-shaped head, and the Night Furies have, you know, this other shaped head. Like,
oh,
how do you...
man.
I didn't see that in the movie, the difference, at least. I couldn't tell.
I think that's the point.
Yeah.
Is the movie is not very clear on all that. But that was kind of fun to see that discussion.
I also loved how it was like how to mate your dragon, which was such a smart perspective, because this film really is about the dragons going off to back to their own world to mate with their own kind and do their own thing apart from humans.
It's like BBC's Planet Birth, you know?
I wrote a sin that was something about just the awkwardness of watching the like the mating dances.
Yeah.
And then I think everyone actually wrote something similar. So we had a really fun time combining all of our perspectives.
There are three large sections of this movie that are just, you know, given to dragons
wanting
to know
each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it was sweet. I thought it was really sweet. As a movie, as a lover of this movie, I really enjoyed it.
No, I did too.
I thought it was super adorable.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, you know, with it being 2019 movies, I mean, Toy Story 4, there's a pretty large portion of that about Woody wanting to stay around and hook up with Bo Peep. So
spoiler alert! I haven't seen.
I don't think that's a spoiler alert.
We all know Woody loves Bo.
I will spoiler alert so much just for fun from here
now,
on out.
Spoiler
I'm just
alert
do it.
Would be the sex scene. No, I'm kidding.
Did you say the sex scene?
Yes. The Bo Peep and Woody. I mean, his name's Woody.
I think.
I'm sorry. I'm going to stop.
I think you may have been watching Team America. I don't know. all right. Let's see. What else? Oh, T.J. Miller impersonator. A lot of people.
I just assumed that was T.J. Miller. I looked it up after I saw you guys were saying it wasn't.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize, and that's kudos to that, you know,
voice actor
for really pulling it off. I think he does a great T.J. Miller impersonation. So yeah, I think a lot of people were like, oh, I didn't realize that was actually not TJ Miller. So
this one was a fun one. I really enjoyed doing this one. I get a little nervous doing the animated ones, especially because I think I get more nervous about doing the animated ones that have been around for 20 years that people love and they had in their childhood.
Like Lilo and Stitch?
Yeah, like Lilo and Stitch. But this one was interesting in that you have these super fans, and this is a one that just came out, and it's sort of like the nice little, you know, they're trying to kind of put a bow on it. But it was fun to watch it and enjoy it, and then also to find the things that were inconsistent and strange about this one. So I loved
this
one.
You guys really hit on how they were very comfortable just being around dragons they had never seen before.
Right.
I didn't even think about that the first time around. Like, especially when they go to the Hidden World, like, they seem more concerned about, like, Hiccup seeing them than other than these, like, hundreds of dragons that could – just eat them.
Yeah, they're almost, they've gone the other direction where they should be thinking about their safety, but they're not. And I think that has to do with the
alpha. And then you guys bring
it
up again in the epilogue, you know, and it's just like, ugh. That's a great ending, though. I love the ending. I think it kind of probably, speaking of Toy Story, I think it probably kind of looked at Toy Story 3 as a role model for that.
Yeah, totally.
But they pull it off. I wish they actually hadn't had the epilogue. The epilogue, I think, kind of, I just don't think it's necessary. It's not bad, but
no. Yeah, I've always thought the comfort with the dragons is a little too much, even once Hiccup knows that they are friendly, or they can be friendly. Boy, they are still dangerous, and I understand. I understand it's a little different than a wild animal because we're giving these dragons an intelligence that we don't give. You know, I'm thinking like lion tamers, those kind of things. They're dealing with an animal that doesn't have the same necessary kind of intelligence that we're giving these dragons. But at the same time, even with intelligence, that could even be scarier. Intelligence can even be, you know, a bigger weapon. So
it's you know, it's just the whole thing about, you know just enough to get in trouble.
Yeah.
There was an interesting thought process for me as I was realizing how integrated the dragons were in their lives, and then the significance of everybody saying goodbye. At the beginning, I'm like, you know, living with the dragons, there's like this whole montage where they fly in and it's super colorful and there's all these dragons flying around and it's like this utopia or whatever. And, you know, they're hopping from dragon back to, and that's just fun. It's kind of fun to be like, oh, this is the little world that they lived in. But they're all snacks. You know, all the people are snacks. If they get hungry, everybody's dead. Well,
I mean, speaking of lions, like if you somehow befriended a lion, like you had a pet lion that you grew up with or something that loved you,
exactly.
You still wouldn't just walk into a pride of lions.
No. Well, some people
do. They're all going to be like my friend Bernie, you know, or whatever. I don't know why you would name the lion Bernie, but I just did.
I think there are literal stories about this happening in people not living.
Yeah.
You know, like this.
Yeah, Grizzly Man.
Yeah, Grizzly Man's a great example of this. Yes, Hiccup should be the Grizzly Man of Burke. Like, he should be dead.
But that still didn't change how emotional the ending was. And I think that's something else I just want to mention is I definitely cried. there's three times Hiccup says goodbye. And I think that they're trying to give people the emotional ability to say goodbye to this relationship. He says goodbye whenever he first goes off to see the Light Fury. Mm-hmm. And then he says goodbye again. And then there's a before he gets snagged by the hunter.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, it's kind of says goodbye to him there. And then the actual goodbye kind of at the end, too.
Yeah, he's gone from the child to the parent in many ways. Again, very similar to Toy Story. You know, Woody's journey is kind of the same. But, you know, in the first movie, he's very much the joyous child figuring out the world and having to be controlled and, you know, having to be, you know, a lesson. And then by the end, he has become, you know, a toothless kind of parental figure in a lot of ways, and he's having to let go. He's having to, you know, do the empty nest thing. So
I was full on ready to send the whole tail thing, you know, where he like fixes his tail so that he can go, like Toothless can go be his own person.
Just because of how much it meant in the first movie. Man, that's the best part of the first movie.
It's like, okay, so, you know, you just create this tail. And then the whole putting it together thing was pretty cool. But then when the boat, where they go at the very end, they arrive in the boat, I was like, I was ready. I'm like, what, you're gonna go visit Toothless and you're not gonna bring anything to fix his tail? Like, it's gotta be falling apart by
but
now.
He did.
But then I went back and watched, I was like, oh wait, no, he definitely says, hey buddy, you need a little fix up. And I'm like, all right, okay, fine, Toothless can fly on his own magically for the rest of his life. I was really worried about Toothless and I was ready to get mad about it. But yeah, this was a really fun one.
Yeah, I like this
movie. You said it had a villain problem. You weren't a big fan of Grimmel.
I just, the motivations, like there's just, he has motivations that he has ample opportunity to fulfill that he just, for whatever reason, doesn't. And it happens over and over again in this movie.
I think they tried to make him into some like psychological killer rather than just somebody who would immediately see the last Night Fury and then kill him.
Yeah, there's just his plans all have to do with the plot of the movie and not with his motivations, you know.
I just don't think we get great villains anymore. I don't really know what that is. I know that's something that gets talked about in the MCU a lot, that they always have a villain problem. But just in general in movies, like, I don't know. And maybe there's just not as many as I'm thinking there are, but.
Well, a good villain is one that wins, and people don't want the villain to win.
Oh, that's true.
That's a little different. I mean, that's kind of a different. I think the MCU's been doing better with it. I think Killmonger's an incredible villain.
Yeah.
I think Michael Keaton's a great villain. You know, their motivations match their actions. Like, you understand who they are and what they want to do. But yeah, this Grimmel is not. It didn't seem to jive for me for most of the movie.
And I mean, F. Murray Abraham does a very commendable job, but it just makes me think of other villainous roles he's played better.
What would have been really interesting is if they would have made the culture the villain. in keeping the dragons from being their own selves. And I think they do touch on that a little bit, like, oh, we're hurting you guys in a way, you know, you're vulnerable here because everyone's going to come hunt you. And so, but if they would have kind of gone into that a little bit more about their own selfishness or something and really played, I don't know. I was just thinking about another way to develop that part of our humanity. We can find out that we're being villains to our friends, our family, our environments, because we're so selfish.
There's an interesting, and I don't know how far we want to go here, but there's an interesting an almost negative aspect to really thinking about what this third movie is saying. Because what it's saying is, when you're different from someone, you better separate yourself out if there's tension.
Right.
Because, and just have two different worlds until people are ready.
Right.
And that, I mean, that's not who we want to be. You know what I mean? Like, there's like, that's, that's kind of the separatist argument, right? Like, that's the argument of a separatist.
The only other solution in this movie would have been to turn the dragons into fighting creatures, which they did in the second movie. We really saw them like go to battle. They could have done that with those ships. I mean, there's so many dragons there. If they wanted to stand at Burke and defend themselves, they could have totally done that, but they didn't, because they wanted to progress the movie towards this sort of different utopia. And you know, that's okay. I think people have a storyline in their mind, and you have full rights to kind of create it and get it to where you want to go.
Well, and we're thinking way too deeply about this animated kids movie, but that's kind of what I do.
So. We care. We should probably move on. We could talk about this for like the rest entire episode.
Though, I'm glad that we mentioned the Jonah Hill's character hitting on Hiccup's mom, because that was insane.
Oh, that bothered the crap out of me.
That was ridiculous.
I mean, I didn't like that from the get-go.
No, that was so awkward.
And just weird.
I also like that you imply Hiccup and Arid are fucking. That was pretty.
Oh, yeah.
And how to Roxanne the Dragon might have been my favorite. Might have been my favorite sin.
All right, let's move on to music video sin for the week, which was Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello, Señorita. Barrett, of course, wrote this. And
did you just say Camila?
I'm sorry.
That's how you pronounce it.
That is not how you pronounce her name, but we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Oh, no, she says that's how you pronounce it, though.
It's Camila.
Camila.
Camila. Yeah, I'm sorry. I thought you were, but it's not Camila.
No.
Which is what a lot of people say.
Or Camila.
Nope, there's no like.
There's no double L there. It's
no
single
y.
L. That's my mistake.
Sound. Yeah. I'm just letting you know.
Yeah. Is it Cabello?
I see what you're saying now. No, that's probably right.
This is something I had never seen before. The song's actually kind of catchy. It is, the video mentions it. It is Discount Havana. Like, it is so trying to play off the thing that made Havana such a huge hit. And you can just feel it throughout. But it's not bad. What did you guys think?
I didn't really like the song that much. I think a lot of that just had to do with Camila. I don't know why I just said it like that.
To make sure you're like ingraining it in your mind.
Yes.
Let's just call her Cece. I'm sure she'll love that.
Yeah, Camila. She is one of those, she has an amazing voice. Like, she's got like a Mariah Carey voice. You know, she's got like that kind of like range and ability. And I mean, a lot of it was not used. She was, of course, in Fifth Harmony, if you guys did not know that.
I didn't.
She was in the girl group Fifth Harmony. And then she started a solo career, I guess last year was when Havana was released. 2018, that sounds right. So this has been, you know, she's had a bunch of hit singles since she's had her solo career, and this is just one she's doing with her good friend, possibly boyfriend, I have no idea, Shawn Mendes. Feels a little beneath her as far as her abilities. And Shawn Mendes is one of those guys that he just seems like such a young, innocent, like virgin ears kind of dude. I don't know that he is, but that's just the way he comes off. And so whenever he tries to do a song like this, it's really hard for me to take it seriously.
That makes sense. The more I watch these videos and listen to modern music, the more I feel like modern pop musicians really don't understand healthy relationships. This video is full of stalking. It's full of seedy hotels. It's just like, there is a better way, you know? It's just like, I don't know.
Barrett,
to me.
Barrett does a great job. I did most of the reviewing on the back end of this because he was out of town. And I was going back and forth with him, just letting him know. I was like, man, considering what this song and video has in it, like, you did a great job with just hitting, you know, the right things, like the motel and the stalking, like you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Oh, and all the orgasmic activity. Like, this song is, like, literally about having an orgasm.
Yeah.
Like, half the song, that's what it's about.
Yeah.
So?
Which, you know, I'm not saying that's bad.
It's no one should have those. What are you thinking?
No one should have those anywhere. A seedy hotel of all places.
But it's hard not to think when you're watching, it's hard not to think that the people, the main audience that is going to be listening to this song, though, is, like, my daughter's age.
Right.
I mean, you know, or, like, early teen. So, I mean, I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with this. This is definitely probably the nicest one since we've been covering these, since we've been doing the Behind the Sins. But it's still interesting. Like, it just that, like, the places they go with it. I don't know.
I have two thoughts. One, this is my favorite one I've watched so far.
Yeah.
Which is three.
Which is not saying much.
Nope. I've only seen three. And my second thought is, I have a feeling, unless we can find another way to, like, talk about the music video sins, we may be the old parents concerned for our children's future.
Like, yeah, it's going to come off that way every time, isn't it?
And now, welcome to the part of the podcast where we're concerned for the youth and the future.
What was your second point, Danae?
I did them both. This is my favorite, and second was
This was your favorite. That's right.
We're the old people on the rocking chair on the porch. I'm worried for kids these days going to have sex in hotels because they don't have any money and they don't have any beds, you know?
It's really funny. Like, my wife and I think are pretty, we're pretty cool about, like, I mean, we're not too restrictive on the music and stuff that my daughter listens to, but it's still, and also, like, with we have an Alexa, you know, device, and with that, like, you can do the clean versions and things of that nature. So, but it's still really funny sometimes. My daughter will be upstairs, like, practicing gymnastics or something, and she'll just have music on in the background. Every now and then you'll just catch, like, is that Cardi B? And I hope this is the clean version. And
in the clean version, do they date for a while and really get to know each other?
Probably not.
Have a really strong sense of personal boundaries.
Yeah.
No, they're just cutting out certain words. That's it. My daughter very much knows what those words are. So
we're going to have to find a clever way to talk about
this. Yeah, I think you're right. I think you're absolutely 100% right.
Full disclosure, as a new mom of a girl, I don't know what I'm going to want to expose her to.
Right.
You know, but a good beat's a good beat and a good voice. And that's one thing, like you were talking about, Jonathan, is you've got these two incredibly talented individuals who are, you know, collaborating on this song, and it sounds really good and their voices are really attractive. But if you start peeling back the layers and kind of getting into it, you're like, oh, Is this what I want the children of the future to listen to?
And the fact is, we're getting more out of this than my 8-year-old daughter is. I mean, we're seeing things that she's not. So, and that's why a lot of the times you just kind of let it go. I mean, you gotta pick your battles.
Can I say, though, that I laughed so hard at Jeremy's delivery of that, like the commercial that he did?
Yeah,
with
I had
the
that
Chanel.
Written down.
Holy crap. I laughed so hard.
Getting Jeremy to do different voices is awesome.
I'll make you smell like sunscreen, flop sweat, plantains, and Hemingway, what is it, daiquiris or something?
Something like that.
Yeah. On sale now at Macy's. I died. I just died.
I also really liked the sending the pre-roll ad.
Beginning.
I thought that was hilarious.
To the best of my knowledge, we have never done that before. That was a first I could think of.
But, yeah, that was funny.
Yeah, that's good stuff.
Anyway, I really actually super enjoyed this video.
The video's great.
All the jokes, all the angles.
Yeah, it's a great video.
And Jeremy had a couple of deliveries. I can't remember the other one off the top of my head that made me crack up, but
yeah.
The Chanel one came second, and so it eliminated the first one.
That's right.
And bringing up the Discount Havana, though, like, the one thing about this song, it made me appreciate Havana a lot more, because Havana always stuck out to me as a pretty simple. No, there wasn't much to it. But then when you listen to something like this, you're like, oh, no, there's a lot more to that song than I was giving it credit for.
Let's move on to the Thursday video, Ride Along.
Or not. We could just not talk about this.
Or we could not. This is a Cher Watkins joint. So Jonathan did write on this one with Barrett.
How was that process?
Well, I had seen it before. I don't think – I'm almost positive Barrett had not seen it before. I saw it, like, right around when it came out, and was not a huge fan of it then, was even less of a fan after I watched it this time. This movie is not funny.
Well, this is –
and that's a problem.
This is what I have written down. Kevin Hart, funny or annoying? Discuss. like I think
he's genuinely funny. Like, I've seen him do stand up and he's funny. And I think he's funny, like, in Jumanji.
Yeah.
I mean, he can be very funny.
Well, that's what I mean by that question. It's like, there are times I think he's one of the funniest humans on the planet. And then there are other times where I'm like, just get out of my life.
Is it director problems?
It's really hard to direct a comedian.
Yeah.
Is it, though? Is it?
Do you have experience today?
I have so much experience directing, you know, people so much.
Let me just say, Danae's a pretty good comedian, and there is a bit of a problem trying to...
Stop talking to me! You leave me alone!
But what I mean by that is that a movie is not a stand-up comedy routine.
Right.
So and a great example of this would be Beverly Hills Cop versus Beverly Hills Cop 2. Because Beverly Hills Cop, you have Martin Brest, who's a pretty good director, but, you know, he was able to get, and I don't know if this was just because Eddie Murphy he was a star at this point. He had done 48 Hours, but I don't know and 48 Hours is another great example where you have these directors that were able to kind of reel Eddie Murphy in a little bit. So it wasn't just like he was just doing a routine.
Yeah,
he was actually giving a performance. But then you watch like Beverly Hills Cop 2 and it's like the opposite. This is when Eddie Murphy thinks he knows what his audience wants.
Right.
And just kind of goes off on these tangents for, you know, 2 hours. And that's what this felt like. It just felt like there's that scene early on where he's, and we only showed a little bit of it, but there's that scene early on where Kevin Hart is grilling that student about like what's going to happen if he skips school that day. And it's just weird. It doesn't work in the context of a movie.
I think we learn over and over again that movies are not just about any particular part. And that goes for the actors, the comedians, whoever. You know, there's so many things that go into that performance you see, you know, just where they decide to edit the lines, how they're directing them on the day, you know, the takes that they're choosing, the director's choosing for whatever reason. And maybe we would have chosen a different take that we think's funny. You know what I mean? Like, there's so many people involved and so many choices. But yeah,
I didn't actually watch this movie. I just watched the CinemaSins version. And so, but to me, I think it reminded me that there are some movies that are sort of like, they give you a shell, and this is like a cop movie shell. And then they just try to put famous people in there that they think can carry a scene without having to work too much on character development, plot development. It's like, so we're going to have a police chase we're going to have a relationship where there's a guy and then he doesn't want this other guy to date whoever, so there's this triangle, and okay, we're also going to put in the one of the cops is going to be a double agent thing, and then we're going to put in this. So it's like, you know, those are just familiar themes that we have in other movies, but this one seemed where the actors were either not being directed very well, you know, in what they wanted to accomplish, or it just wasn't a deep story, and so then they're given the freedom to just kind of play and it just didn't work.
Yeah,
and it's kind of like what we were talking about last week with Die Hard with a Vengeance. I mean, this really felt like where we said that felt like a 80s action movie in the 90s. This felt like an 80s buddy cop movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In 2016 or whatever it was. And it just didn't work. And it wasn't anywhere near as good as most of those. I mean, like, this is nothing. Like, if you go back and watch like 48 Hours or Lethal Weapon or maybe even Beverly Hills Cop, I mean, there's something to those that works a lot better than a lot of these more recent attempts at it. Even Rush Hour is way funnier than this. And I'm not
would
a
agree
huge
with
fan
that.
Of that.
No, I would totally agree with that. The other thing I had written down was, and this may be the reason I think people could enjoy this movie, I think it's exactly the movie you think it will be going in. Like, it's one of those movies that I think your preconceptions are pretty much going to line up with how you feel afterwards. You know, and if you love everything Kevin Hart does, I think you can have a good time with it. You know, it definitely was exactly the movie I thought it was going to be when I saw it.
Well, and if you look at his, and we even make a joke about this might be his best movie. I do think Jumanji's better, but I still thought it was okay to keep that in.
Yeah.
But then we also make the joke that, but this is his best movie. And so that's why we give it the sin. But it really, it is one of his best movies.
There is
if you really want to watch a Kevin Hart movie,
this is
top
the best
of the
one.
List, probably.
I like that was actually a sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, this is his best movie.
Ding.
So that's why we're sending it.
I love the thing. Barrett wrote this one, but the Training Day sin about how, okay, so if Training Day exists, then that means Dr. Dre is acted in that movie, so that means NWA exists.
Right.
Which means he should be constantly convicted.
Why are people not saying James looks just like Ice Cube?
Yeah.
That's right. Such a great point. It's the Julia Roberts effect from the Ocean's movies.
Yeah, exactly. They should have done something with that.
All right. Well, there you go. There's the Sins videos for last week. You know, good stuff, mediocre stuff, and bad stuff. That's the way it usually works out.
But all great videos.
But all great videos.
Of course, we're biased. Okay.
Just a little bit.
Let's go on to the next thing.
Let's talk about some tabs. Let's do some keeping tabs.
Hey, podcast peeps. It's me again. Those are my dogs. Those are my. Every time I talk. Wow. Is this how Aaron feels? When we're. Okay. We're going to try this. I just wanted to tell you about the survey again, which is at cinemasense.com/BTS. So, go fill it out.
The internet is a communications tool used the world over where people can come together to bitch about movies and share pornography with one another.
Ha ha! Oh, jeez.
This is the most public yet of my many humiliations.
All right, we've each picked some tabs that we can remember having open that we might find funny, embarrassing to talk about. Or whatever we want to do. You can also throw any deleted sins in here if you want to as well. Since we don't have a full category for that yet.
Yeah, let's try it out. And if you like it, let us know.
Yeah, if you like it, let us know. We'll make it its own category.
I think people will love that, yeah.
But let's start with some of the tabs we had open. Danae, why don't you go first? What's something you remember researching that you want to let the world know about and maybe the FBI?
For this week, the... only one that I wrote on was How to Train Your Dragon, and I did search, this was dumb, but I did search face harnesses. this joke was cut, so it's kind of like a little bit of both,
right,
but I did have a joke that I wrote about, and the sin was basically a bad business model. Because at the very beginning, all the cages are kind of opening up and you're seeing all these various dragons that have been captured by the dragon people. And they all have very intricate, perfectly fit harnesses around their faces. And even like at the end, Toothless and the Light Fury have these really intricate, perfectly fit. And so my curiosity and what led me down this particular Google search was how difficult is it to make a face harness, the time that goes into it. And it turns out, there are face harnesses for people who have fetishes. So,
yes,
I didn't think about that before I searched it, but that's there. So now I have that in my history, and I'm just waiting.
Why have you been researching BDSM?
What is this? Sorry about that.
I think the people put on the face harnesses and eat the free donut holes.
Yeah.
They're
and if we don't include that in, that's going to make no sense.
That's right. If we do, it's later.
Pre-show talk.
Nobody's heard that yet. They're like holes. Are they really talking about holes? What is he talking about? That's gross.
Please refer to episode 4 of Behind the Scenes. So that was mine. It was an interesting one.
Yeah, it is weird though, right? Because I mean, it's not just one of those things where you could loosen a few straps here or there and make it fit. Like these dragons are vastly different in size and shape and how the head works.
Each harness was like, this one allots for the eyes to be up here. This one allots for the horns to be over here.
Right.
So,
Somebody is doing custom face mask work.
It was high quality stuff, let me tell you, which to me means that somebody like on the ship is like, okay, we've got this type of dragon and he's down there just ching, 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 or she. Ching, 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 you know, creating them. Uh-huh. And my sin was that it was a poor business model because you can't resell those.
That's so right.
So it was cut, probably because it was a bad joke. Moving on.
I guess I'll go next, and we'll go ahead and get there. In the 100, there is a wall that she has drawn all these flowers on, and one of them did look very, very...
vaginal?
female genitalia. like. And so I did make a joke about that. But the search I did, I wanted to, I always like, here's the thing with humor. I think oftentimes the more specific you can be with humor, the funnier it is, right? If you can be like, name a specific flower or name that, it's always funnier. So I try to find specific things. So I just did a search for what flowers look the most like vaginas.
Wow.
And I've got your answers if you want. If you want the answers.
Were you led to Georgia O'Keeffe?
No, no, but that's not strange that you would say that. Let's see. The Hydnora africana is one.
Oh, very familiar with that one.
It's very Venus flytrap-like. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine that if you want.
Aaron, I feel like you don't need to name any of them because most of us understand that a vagina and a flower are looking like each other. We just don't have to imagine. You might as well just be like, okay, this one's purple. This one's green.
I do. This one is purple. The name of this flower, the actual name of this flower, and the reason it's important that I tell you about this list, the flower is called the clitoria. You're welcome.
Like, I feel like you just wanted to Google vaginas and you came up with a way to do it. I don't know. I'm kidding. Am I kidding?
All I know is I'm not welcome at the flower shop anymore. That's no. All I know.
Can I take pictures of your flowers?
I'd be okay, man. If I could get banned from flower shops, I think I would live my life just fine.
I'm sorry, honey. I can't order you roses for Valentine's Day anymore. They kicked me out.
For being a perv.
What do you got, Jonathan?
Yeah, I had a couple of small ones from the 100. First off, I looked up actresses' ages on the show because I wrote that sin about the cleavage. I always like to just double check. I mean, I usually know that these are usually people at least in their 20s.
You would hope CW would do that research.
Yeah, you would. And I also wasn't really sure exactly how old these kids were supposed to be on the show. I mean, they very well could be in their 20s on the show, too. I don't even know. They don't really ever say. They act like high school students.
You know what's interesting? Some of the research I did for, what was the Claire Danes show?
My So-Called Life.
Oh, yeah, My So-Called Life. So I did research on My So-Called Life, and this is, of course, several years ago. And she was like 14 or 15 when they shot that show.
And he was older, right?
And he was like 23, and they have scenes. Like, it's really icky thinking back on that. You know, it's just like, I don't know.
Well, that's a conversation that's being had right now about The Little Mermaid.
Oh, interesting.
And wanting, because the lead, why can't I remember her name?
It's Halle Berry.
Yes.
Halle Berry.
It's actually Haley.
Right? But no. The conversation is, please, Disney, let's cast somebody that is age appropriate and not cast someone who's 25, 30-year-old male to play Eric because I don't remember how old Halle.
It's an interesting conversation
have. Well, she's 52 years old. That's the wrong one.
Well, I know she's on a show where they're in college because my wife watches that. It's a spinoff of Blackish. It's called Grownish.
Oh, interesting.
I'm not making that up. G-R-O-W.
I've never even heard of that.
Mm-hmm. It's on it's not on the networks. It's on like Freeform or something. It's on like a cable channel. But it follows the oldest daughter from Blackish. And one of her friends is played by this actress. So my guess is she's probably like 20. But we don't do research.
Not
for the podcast. Your research for the scripts.
We're not doing any research for the podcast. And I'm over here frantically trying to figure out how old she is. Anyway, thanks, Google, for not instantly understanding anything.
The other one I looked up really quick was, are there still jails in the Philadelphia sports stadiums? Because I remember I had heard that, and we make a joke about them having the jail on the ship or whatever. And I thought that they did, and they did. And in fact, what's so funny is I can't remember if it was the Eagles or the Philly stadium. They had a jail in there. I think it was the Eagles. And then when they built a new stadium, they made sure they had to move the jail over to that stadium because they didn't want to have no jail.
I have no idea what you're talking about, but suddenly I'm interested in sports, so that's a sign.
No, Philadelphia, it's just Philadelphia sports fans have gotten a little out of hand in the past, and they had to build a jail in the football stadium. And then when they built a new one, they made sure they moved the jail because they just knew they would need it.
Why not build a new jail?
I don't know.
I moved the old one.
Yeah, I don't know. That is another question. That is another question. But that's what they did. So
that's fascinating. I learned something really fascinating today, and I'm glad to be here.
Danae, what else you got?
For How to Train Your Dragon, I also looked up movies where kids had a mom crush because it made me really, really uncomfortable. You know,
and she plays into it at one point.
At the end of the movie, she kind of like compliments him.
Yeah.
And I don't know if she's aware of the crush, so I don't want to think about that particular thing. But I did look up, like, I was trying to find another example of it happening in another movie, but I instead found, like, help sections on what to do if you have a crush on an adult female, and also how to, as an adult female, be more appropriate with children who have a crush on you.
Yeah.
So it was super awkward, really uncomfortable. I immediately got out of my tab. I said a prayer. Lord, forgive me. But it was interesting because there are like support groups for stuff like that. Because...
Well, yeah, and there are plenty of movies that deal with the actual issue, especially with teachers and students. Like that, for whatever reason.
All that crap is in the news.
Right.
On the regular with,
teachers and students.
Yeah.
Attention, teachers and students. Sorry.
No, you're good. And I have one more. So if you've got another one, I'll go after you.
Yeah, sure. I've got one more. I searched, is throwing your child in the air child endangerment?
Answer.
And realized that I was putting myself in legal trouble if somebody...
Say, I hope not.
The answer
no
is...
No comment.
The answer is it might be. It kind of depends on who wants to prosecute you and for what reason and how high you throw them. If people feel like it's unsafe, they can certainly press charges.
It's interesting. On the 4th of July, I took a slow-mo video. I put it up on my Instagram of my husband, like, chucking my daughter up in the air. Mm-hmm. And, and the whole family, we're sitting inside, and the whole family is like, gasping as she's kind of being flung up. And he was super confident. And so I was forcing myself to be calm. Like, my husband's got this. He's fine. You know, mm-hmm. He was sitting on the floor just, you know, so it wasn't like he was standing up and like throwing her into the air. I say the word chucking, probably not appropriate. Anyway,
I quit doing that pretty early though. Cause that was like the one time I got vomited on was throwing my daughter like right after she had eaten. I guess it was more spit up, but right after she had eaten.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
She had just eaten. And I was thinking this was going to be cause and effect. I was totally fine with him getting puked on.
That's a whole different kind of child chucking.
Yes.
So, but yes, that happens as well.
He watched that video afterwards and he was really surprised at how much air she had.
Yeah.
Because from his perspective, it wasn't that much.
Right.
But from a video perspective,
when you slow it down, you can tell.
He was pretty shocked.
I do know it is child endangerment when you throw a child when you're thousands of feet in the air on a dragon.
Yes.
I think that is actually.
With no harness.
Oh, for sure.
With no kind of harness. I don't think that's really a question.
No harness.
By the way, the advice that I received in my Google search was there are other fun ways to give your child that sensation without actually throwing them in the air. Bounce them on your knee.
As an example.
So they were very helpful. Parents.com was very helpful.
My last search. Oh, I'm sorry, Jonathan, did you have another one?
Oh, not really, because I did all mine once for some reason.
Oh, you're good.
I'm an asshole.
Accidental. You're an accidental asshole, and that's okay. Was our Viking boats flammable?
Okay.
Because the beginning opening sequence of How to Train Your Dragon, there's lots of fire on a boat. And so I thought, that's just stupid. And I thought, no, I'm stupid, because clearly... Back in the day, the Vikings had some sort of, like, I don't know, coating that they put on their ships so that they wouldn't be flammable. So I really did a little research on that. And first of all, Vikings, fascinating stuff.
I thought you were going to say creatures. Fascinating creatures, those Vikings.
Well, they're not real, you know.
Right.
It's all a myth that they ever existed. No, they did not, from what I could find, have anything that they actually coated their boats in.
I would think anything you would coat your boat in would make it more flammable. I can't think of many coatings that would make it less flammable.
Right. And they didn't have that back then. They had to use tar to like keep
some of it. And that's very flammable.
It is. So then I ended up writing a joke in the actual script about how, and I had to do research, and now I'm just angry that was just a plot convenience.
Yeah.
That just nothing actually lit on fire.
Yeah. Well, there you go. There's some searches we did. Did anybody have any deleted sins they wanted to try out?
I wrote down one. I kind of, and it was when there's a moment whenever Hiccup is on a cliff and he's looking at this map and thinking about this hidden world, and Toothless is wanting to play fetch. It was essentially about how the proper way to train a creature is not to say, don't do that, and then throw it so that he goes and fetches it.
Yes.
Because he's like, he's like, Toothless, stop. And then he literally picks up his leg and chucks it for him to play with. It's like, if you don't want him to chew on it, and you literally say, stop chewing on it, and then you let him chew on it, right. You're sending mixed signals.
It is very, that whole mixed signal thing is, I'm not sure how far you are into this. That is such a parent thing. Like, we do that with our kids. We send them mixed signals. We tell them no, and then they, you know, they get away with it, or and then we do it with them later. And,
yeah.
Or they see us doing it, or whatever the case may be. So.
Yeah, I tell Iris not to throw toys all the time, and then I throw them across the room when I'm cleaning up so I can get it closer to where it belongs.
Uh-huh.
I'm like, oh, this is why you do what
you do. I literally trained your daughter to throw her toys back into the basket.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
So let's apologize see that, for that.
How I trained Danae's daughter.
All right, let's move on to the comment section.
I want to know what you're thinking.
I appreciate your honesty. You're a real straight shooter.
You are the ones who are the ball lickers.
All right, what are some comments that you saw from some of the videos that you wanted to respond to or kind of bring to the forefront?
On Ride Along, there was a few, but one I thought was funny just because I suggest everybody go check this out. But 1 of Infinity, got it, is who said this. They said, so this is what you get when you both go riding around with Conan. And there is a great thing. You can probably find it on YouTube with Conan, Kevin Hart, Ice Cube, and one of Conan's interns, I believe, are driving around looking for pot in California, like right after it was made legal.
Uh-huh.
And it's very funny. It's much funnier than the movie Ride Along.
So, wait, was this a comment?
Yeah, they leaked to it in a comment, I think.
That's amazing. Like, hey, instead of watching this movie, just go watch this video instead. Brilliant.
Yes, very much so. And it is way funnier than the movie, so I highly recommend it.
I'll just kind of throw this one away since we already kind of talked about it. But Ronald Swanson, too, said, Jeremy needs to do perfume commercials.
Yes.
So good.
So I thought that was funny. Danae?
I went through a lot of the comments on How to Train because I wrote on it, and I love going in there when I write on something to see if anyone liked my joke because I am selfish.
Oh, yeah. No, I think we've all done that.
It's fun. But one of the most common ones, this isn't from one person in particular, because this was from many, many people, was, Dad, are you going to get us a new mom, Skip? And so I love it when a joke is something that everyone comments on. Their comment is the literal joke.
I know.
So
well, I remember even in the script process, Chris was like, this joke is so brutal and I love it so much.
It was. It's great. That was really funny.
That is my fit. When I learned that the Skip jokes were about sentimentality, that was an eye opener for me. They can be about it. Look, we can make our jokes about whatever
right.
we want to make them about. But the idea is that I started to understand the Skip jokes more was whenever the movie's getting too sentimental for its own good and we'd like to just get back to what, you know, we like about the movie, that's when a Skip comes in really handy. And so it just cracked me up to think of, you know, the whole, you know, are you going to get a new mom for us thing as being too sentimental.
Like, okay.
Just skipping through.
Yeah, I remember that because I think one of the first ones I wrote on, I misunderstood the Skip joke. And I actually used it on something that was like where it was actually like getting dark or something. And Chris was like, oh, no, that's fine. We'll talk about that. We skip like the sweet stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, we don't skip the deep, grimy, gritty stuff. We skip the stuff where we want to hug.
Yeah. We slow motion the grimy stuff.
That's my life.
Right. You got any more, Jonathan?
Yeah, I had a couple more from Ride Along. They're both really quick, so I'll just do them both. But a lot of people in the comments suggest, like, ask us to do other movies. And a lot of the times, like, it makes sense, like it's a current movie or something like that. So I usually don't even pay attention. I mean, I usually don't think about those for this segment. Not that there's anything wrong. Please suggest whatever you want. But I just thought it was really interesting. And Ride Along, somebody just randomly said, do the Stepfather 1 and 2 with Terry O'Quinn. These will be hilarious. And I'm just like sitting there thinking like, and this was a Chris Ritchie 3.
Oh,
and I do agree that those would be fun to do. But I'm just like sitting there thinking, you're watching Ride Along. And you're just like, you know what would be great? The Stepfather 1 and 2, because I just want to see Terry O'Quinn, you know.
Oh, that video gets 3 views and they're all him.
But then also from that, somebody mentioned the police captain, which is Bruce McGill, which Barrett brought up looking up his filmography. And also the Atlanta strip club bit that Barrett was talking about.
That was all from this video. Yeah.
Yeah. The police captain is far better. Gamer from Jump 2 said the police. I'm sorry, Gamer from Jump. I'm reading like part of the days ago.
You know what? Name. I don't think we need to apologize for stumbling over usernames.
Maybe ever.
Maybe ever. Just give it your best shot and move on.
There you go. But he said the police captain is far better in Rizzoli and Isles, where he's also a cop. And the only reason I wanted to mention that, and this could have been used as a deleted sin, but I kind of forgot. I can't remember exactly what I did because I actually cut this before I sent the script to Barrett. But I did have a Rizzoli and Isles joke in there.
Nice. Very nicely done.
And then I just felt like it was a little – I couldn't get it to work, so I got rid of it.
Anna says, what's ridiculous about this first episode is that the sea serpent and any other weird thing about Earth is never seen or talked about again in the whole series. This – blew my mind as somebody who's only seen
100?
For the 100 as somebody who's only seen that one, because
they never mentioned the sea serpent again.
Well, she said that the sea serpent or the weird stuff about Earth is never seen or talked about again in the whole series. Now, first of all, is that true? Like that's not a big part of what this show is doing?
Are you talking about like stuff like the deer with the three heads?
Yeah,
I hadn't really thought about it, but. Yeah, they don't really delve into that too much. I mean, it's just kind of like Earth is livable.
Do you think it's because the cost of doing like CG? Maybe.
And pilots a lot of the time are very different. I mean, which we discovered from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
There are a lot of the time there are things in pilots that don't get picked up in later episodes.
I'm just like
maybe they had notes like, yeah, we're going to keep doing this, but let's cut out all the mutation stuff.
Right.
I don't know.
Because the pilot.
But I guess that's right. I guess, that does make sense now that I think about it.
The pilot is very clear, like, you know, this radiation changed creatures, and there's going to. Like, I thought there was going to be a monster element to this show by watching the first episode.
No, it's just there's just other people there. I have a feeling that that's what it was, though. They probably said that. Because they probably felt they would have to explain too much.
Yeah.
So they probably that's my guess. I don't know that for a fact, but that's my guess is that they probably thought they would have had to. Well, why isn't this thing radiated? But this is, you know, and why aren't these kids suffering?
Yeah,
that
just blew my mind. Absolutely blew my mind. Danae, did you have any others?
For the 100, Nick said, "What this? I like this one. You guys are going to like this one, I think too. Why am I not seeing any comments about this channel blatantly re-uploading the videos of the YouTube channel CinemaSins? This is outrageous." So I love
that's hilarious.
This guy is like raging mad that we're ripping off CinemaSins, obviously not realizing that we're part of the same brand.
I feel bad. I'm like, oh, thank you, but at the same time,
like, it's still like, us.
It's us. It's okay. There are lots of rip-offs. I get it.
And And that's a lot of the reason why we use, because, I mean, I don't know if that's too behind the scenes, but we were thinking about doing a different voice, I mean, partly just to give Jeremy a break.
Oh, he's narrating so much.
Yeah, and you know, but then we just kind of decided that, you know, Jeremy's voice is kind of what makes people realize.
Mm-hmm. It's very brand-centric,
Yeah, so maybe they thought we were doing a T.J. Miller impression and just impersonating him.
I love that this person got incredibly offended on CinemaSins' behalf. So somebody probably needs to go, like, reply comment to this poor person so they can, like, rest.
I mean, when we originally launched it, we made a lot of comments about that. Maybe that was specifically on Twitter, because I do remember people asking, like, is this actually related to, you know, CinemaSins? And so, I mean, whatever.
Well, and I've
at this point, if you haven't figured it out, I don't know what to do.
I remember seeing comments within the first month or two from people who were like, you know, the first time I saw one of these videos, I thought it was a ripoff and I didn't even click it. And now I realize it's actual cinema. Like, it took them a while to figure it out. And so, like, I wonder how many people see the TV Sins pop up in their, you know, feed or whatever, and are like, oh, another ripoff channel. You know what I mean? Like, you know, because obviously Jeremy's voice should be a giveaway, but if you don't even click
it
on
not.
It.
Yeah.
I guess I'll do another one. This is Mr. Nitty 1154. Using the pre-show safety announcement from Epcot's Soarin ride really just makes me want to see your new channel, Theme Park Sins.
Let's do it. Great.
So I'm down.
I don't know how we do it.
If the budget's there, man.
I'm game.
That's a little. Yeah, that's a little more than, hey, Chris, can you burn this for me?
Yeah, exactly.
The one that I had next was people who got into a conversation, Harpatrim and Scylla Sweet, talking about how now that they watch videos, they find mistakes in it in Jeremy's voice in their head.
Uh-huh.
So I love that, because that's something that's happening to me too. Is I'll watch
yeah,
something and I can hear
that.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't. I don't know if it's just because I know him so well. I don't know. I've never really had that issue, but I hear a lot of people say that. They have, like, when they're watching a movie, Jeremy's voice is just always in their head.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Jeremy.
I was that way even before CinemaSins existed, so.
Well, there you go.
I've always had that in my mind, you know, like, wondering about things, specifically, like, the continuity issues. Mm-hmm. It was really specific to like, my brain. But not in Jeremy's voice, because I didn't mm-hmm. know Jeremy then. So yeah. Now it is. It's like I have the little narrator guy.
I wonder how he feels about that.
I think
millions
it would
of
be
people
cool.
have his voice in their heads on a daily basis.
Do you guys read your scripts out loud?
Oh, interesting.
Naked in the shower. For me.
Nice.
Yeah. How do you read it?
Now that's
going to
be in my head.
oh, crap. Sorry, I didn't think about
that.
Well,
no, what's funny, too, is like that's funny because Jeremy made a joke about like how we all wrote. Like, this is a long time ago.
Right, yeah,
and,
yeah.
He was saying something, because he had talked to Aaron, I believe, about something. You were telling him something about watching it on TV or something. And then he's like, but I mean, I don't know how everybody writes. I mean, then he was like so random. He's like, Jonathan's probably like in the bathtub with a typewriter.
That's right.
Like, dictating to his wife. I'm like, what? I'm like, where did that come from?
That's very Trumbo-esque.
Oh,
I don't know
man.
If you've ever seen Trumbo.
I guess he must have just seen Trumbo.
That's really funny, because now I have that visual in my head.
I've told you guys the story of my first experience with CinemaSins, which was that it was when Kevin Smith tweeted it out, and then it was all over like my movie news feed. This is 2012, you know, when it launched. And so I had seen it, I had loved it or whatever. And Jeremy and I later that day were recording a movie review. We did this, you know, mm-hmm. back then. Danae, you remember this? We recorded
yeah,
with
it was
him on,
for our show.
For our show.
Yep.
And so I, you know, link up with him on Skype, getting ready to record the movie review. I was like, have you seen this CinemaSins thing? It's hilarious. He's like, dude, that's my
me.
Voice.
How do you not
How
know?
How do you not
well,
know that's me?
I mean,
me?
He should have texted you when that. I mean, come on. I only
hilarious.
Found out because of Barrett, because Chris didn't let me know. It was Barrett. I was on vacation, I remember, and Barrett texted me. He's like, have you seen Chris and Jeremy's YouTube channel? I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And now look at what's happened.
It's just great.
I love that the fans and the comments are in that same vein, though. That mm-hmm. It's not just like Jeremy's passion and Chris's passion. It's just like become this whole community. Mm-hmm. It's yeah. really fun.
Base Station 1 also wanted to add a sin. So this is for How to Train Your Dragon Hidden World. It says, need to add a sin for the secret dragon hideout in a hole in the middle of the ocean where water constantly runs in it but never fills it up.
Yes.
what are the physics there? Are we dealing with a flat earth theory here? Like, what's going on?
Yeah, I tried to think about that one too. I really did. And I kind of like critically went into where I fit drawing the sort of map in my mind where the water flows down and then it hits another level and then it flows down like this endless cascade down into the center of the earth where it becomes steam. You know, it's the only thing that makes sense to my mind.
And then
mind.
It's forced back up to the surface on the other side like some sort of water fountain. Like, those things keep running, right? Like,
exactly.
The water just recirculates.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep. It kind of goes up in these weird plumes through geysers.
Yeah.
Probably
or
in a desert.
Girlsers.
Thank you. Thank you for being inclusive.
Anything else, guys, from the comment section?
Yeah, I just had one more. It was Fuzzy Striketail on the 100. They were just kind of suggesting a possible other love triangle when they said, however, Octavia might not have survived her CW-mandated cleavage skinny-dipping shot if the radioactive sea serpent that attacked her was actually married to another radioactive sea serpent, but currently engaged in a love triangle affair with yet another radioactive sea serpent.
That is true. That is true. That is very
And I
well
think
said.
The CW should have really thought about that. I think that would have been...
Shame on you, CW.
Sea serpents need, you know, they need coverage as well.
Did you love how the 100 comments were like mostly comprised of people who were defending the plot development of the show as the years went on?
Yeah.
I mean, it was just like full of super support.
Well, it was kind of like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. A lot of people have really kind of just globbed onto the show like in recent seasons. I have heard myself that it gets so batshit crazy that I kind of want to check it out again.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's like the CW show, like it doesn't have like huge ratings, but it's enough to where they keep it on the air. But I don't think they're really paying attention to what's going on. So I think the writers and creators are just doing whatever they want. It's kind of the impression I get.
That's
and I also wanted to make a really bad joke that Scarlett Johansson wanted to play the sea serpent.
Oh, no. On that note.
Oh, no.
I love you,
she has the right, okay?
She does have
she
the right.
She has the right.
Sure.
She can play whatever she wants.
Totally kidding.
All right, let's move on to Beyond the Sins.
To infinity and beyond.
Somewhere beyond my wild history.
To boldly go where no man has gone before.
Let's chat about something else from the world of pop culture that we have experienced recently. It can be good or bad or mediocre or whatever. I'll kick this one off. I saw Stuber, and it was not good.
No.
It was the one with this is the one with Camille Nanjiani and Dave Bautista. It's kind of a buddy comedy kind of thing. Bautista's
right
a cop. Yeah, it's basically Ride Along. It is absolutely very much like that, except with Uber. This is one of those things where Camille Nanjiani is really funny. And I think you will laugh many times throughout this movie at Kumail's delivery on these lines. He's just such a great comedian. The movie is not funny. The story's a mess. Dave Bautista, I'm wondering, like, if he's actually an actor or not, because he's really bad in this. And again, lots of pieces go into making movies, so it may not be his fault, but I did not enjoy his performance
but
in this movie.
Something like his little bit, like in Blade Runner 2049, and you're like, he's giving a performance.
Yeah, he's doing.
And I mean, that's minor, but still, you watch something like that, and he's been very good as Drax.
Yes, and I'm starting to wonder if it's the character just fits him so well in Guardians.
I haven't seen Stuber, but I've seen the trailer many, many times. And it just looks like I can't really get a good feeling for, I don't know why he takes an Uber, so that might factor into what's going on.
Well, I will tell you this.
I can't get a real good feel for his character. Like, it kind of seems like he's kind of, I mean, I guess he's insane. I don't know. It's a... I don't think they could figure out a way to advertise his character well.
Well, the entire motivation and plot movement of that character deals with eyesight. And it deals with it in a way that doesn't make sense, is not consistent, and therefore I think makes it very difficult to kind of identify with what he's going through.
Oh,
so.
Okay. Because he is like squinting like the entire trailer. So that actually kind of makes sense now that you say that.
He's squinting the entire movie, Jonathan. It's not fun.
Oh my God. I don't know. This looks like a movie that I will find funny, but probably won't. But see, that's the thing. I think some people don't realize just because a movie's funny doesn't mean it's good.
Right. And this is one of those cases,
I think. Is a movie that's going to have a lot of laughs. But yeah, I'm just not sure. But I'll probably check it out.
I will tell you, down the line, I don't think this is an exaggeration. I laughed a lot during this movie. Mm-hmm. It was always at Camille. It was every single one of them was
at
a Camille
or
line.
With?
With.
Oh, okay.
No, Camille's great. I think
he's
really
very funny.
But that was the only highlight of Stuber for me. What about you, Jonathan?
I'm really trying hard to talk about something that's not a horror film, but I did see Crawl. Did you see Crawl?
Ooh, no, I'm very curious as to your thoughts because it's getting some good buzz.
I had a blast, and that's why I decided to talk about it. Like, because I hear, you know, it's when people talk about, like, especially with these creature features, I don't know. And maybe it's just because I want to recapture that feeling of watching Jaws for the first time. But, like, whenever I see one of these creature movies advertised, I get kind of giddy, and I'm like, I get kind of childlike about it. Like, yeah, this is going to be fun. And then it ends up being, like, something like The Meg.
This is the exact opposite of Danae's reaction to creature feature trailers,
gotcha.
Which is it puts her in a coma, basically.
And that stuff follows me into my dreams. I have an incredibly vivid imagination.
This is one about alligators.
I don't need any of that crap.
Well, and here's the thing. I have, and because I'm weird and I like to torture myself, I guess, I have a legit fear of sharks and alligators.
Oh, hey!
I don't really have a particular reason for it, but I'm terrified
in common,
of them.
Man. I hate sharks, legit.
Yeah. Every time, like, I won't. I don't go far in the ocean, and then every time we're in Florida, we go to Florida a lot to go to Disney World and stuff. Anytime we're walking by, like, any water, I'm just staring the whole time at the water because I'm positive an alligator is going to come out of it.
I just think that's just smart.
Yeah, it's just called
wisdom.
I
think so too. I think that just makes sense. You're just taking you're protecting your family.
If you were looking
so
for a shark in a pond,
this movie legit scared me because. you know, it and a lot of these don't scare me, but this one actually did. I think a lot of it, the director, Alexander Aja, he's done other horror movies. He did Piranha 3D. He did The Hills Have Eyes remake. Never been a huge fan of his movies, honestly. But he is a good director, and you see that in this because he does a really good job of, A, he does a very good job of, because this is a very small, tight situation. Like, they're trapped in a basically a cellar in a house in Florida during a hurricane, and these alligators get in. And then there is a little bit outside of the house, but it's a very tight area, and he does a really good job with the geography of it. And so you always know where you are, and that actually makes it, in a weird way, it makes it scarier, you know, because, and he does a really good job of building up the tension. So you never know exactly when they're going to attack or where they're going to attack from. I will say it gets pretty silly at the end, which is not
kinda
normal in a lot of these
movies.
Yeah,
that's kind of normal with these movies.
Yeah, you have to kind of suspend your disbelief. But it's, but it, no one gets out easy. Like, it's, I mean, it's a very, it's, I wouldn't say it's, I mean, it's pretty brutal, I guess. It's pretty gory. It's definitely an R-rated film. But that didn't really bother me as much as it normally does. I don't know. I just had a really good time with it. And when I see people talk about stuff like The Meg, which I thought was super dull, when I see people talking about that and saying stuff like, you know, you just, you can't complain about this. It's just fun. I usually don't like that defense. But with this movie, I think it's kind of legit because this movie is really fun.
This reminds me of how I felt after I watched The Shallows. Did you enjoy The Shallows?
I liked this better, but The Shallows is probably one of the better ones I've seen over the last like decade.
It's
for
one,
sure.
It's one of. I'm sorry, Danae. We're going to be talking about shark movies here for a second. You can just you can just keep singing your Stars Born, you know, music, and we'll.
You bet. I'm gonna zone out. I'm gonna let you guys talk. Hey, I got an idea. You just give me the thumbs up when I can clue back in, and I'm gonna go look at my web comic that I'm gonna talk about here in a minute.
Okay. Fair
okay.
Enough.
Okay.
No, but I remember when I watched The Shallows, I was like,
in the shadows. I'm sorry.
Every time.
I'm sorry.
I remember thinking, I went into it thinking, this is going to be another dumb shark movie. And mm-hmm. I had so much fun. And it was kind of dumb. Like, the shark was as intelligent as a human. You know, it made human motivated decisions. It was definitely a shark who had a revenge kind of thing on his mind. Like, but there was just something so interesting and fun about it. I thought the performances, you know, mm-hmm. basically, Blake Lively, right?
Yes.
I think was The Shallows. I thought her performance was really good. So that kind of reminds me of what you're saying with
yeah. Oh, and the performances are good here too. You get basically two. It's Barry Pepper plays the dad, and I cannot remember her name. She's in the Maze Runner movies, and I don't think I could pronounce her name even if I did remember it. But it's like, yeah, Kaya Scodelario. Let's go there.
Okay.
And there's also a very, very, very cute dog. And so they kind of make up like the main cast. There are a few tertiary characters that show up for the obvious reasons in these kind of movies.
red shirts.
But no, it's effective. It's just a very effective, thrilling, you know, hour and a half of your life. And it's like you said with Right Along, you get exactly what you expect to get.
Yeah.
You know,
that can be a good
thing. And it doesn't do any more. And it's also, it's one of those, which I'm not going to tell you what, I mean, it has the kind of ending I love in these types of movies. And I don't really want to go beyond that other than it's a very, I don't even know how to say it without giving
it
away.
Does it involve dynamite?
It has an ending that I like.
Huh? And does it involve dynamite?
No, nothing like that. Okay. It has nothing to do with what happens in the ending. It's just like what part of the action it ends on, I guess, is the best way to put it.
Why are you even talking? I didn't give you the thumbs up yet, Danae.
Oh, crap,
why are you
sorry.
Even back in this conversation?
Listen, I just started
like,
shopping on Amazon.
Let's put it this way. It's a movie that knows when it needs to end. It doesn't drag on. So I think that's what I'm basically saying. So I don't know. I just it's not a great movie. Like, you're not going to – this isn't going to end up on a bunch of top 10 lists at the end of the year or anything like that. But it is a good movie, and it's okay for a movie to just be good.
Yeah.
This is one of them, so I highly recommend. I'll never reach the ground. Thumbs up, Danae.
Thumbs up. You can
what were
back.
You singing just then? That wasn't Star is Born, was it?
Yeah, it was. She was going to the deep end part.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
That's right. It's where they live, the chompy mouse. I'm going to ask you a question that I'm going to immediately regret.
Yep.
Have you seen Shark Cat?
No.
Okay, don't. All right. Who's up up next?
Never even heard of that. Interesting.
You're up, Danae. It's down to you.
Really?
Yeah. What's your Beyond the Sins?
Well, let me tell you. I've been shopping on Amazon Prime. Today is Amazon Prime Day whenever we're recording
this
episode.
Isn't it like 2 days now?
It's 2 days in a row, man.
I don't know how I feel about Prime Day.
You used to love it.
You don't get to be a corporation and create a holiday. That's silliness.
You used to love this.
That's before I was enlightened.
Oh, before you, you mean before you got broke and you're like, yeah. I can't afford anything anyway. I mean, yeah, cool. Apple iPad Pro is several hundred dollars off, but whatever. Anyway, back to the other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I want to highlight a webcomic. Something that you don't know about me yet is I love webcomics. This love started when I worked for a call center. I worked for hotels.com years ago. And so my day was tied to a phone answering your calls about your hotel needs. It was awful. I hated it.
Do you still remember like the intro, like when you answer the phone, what you had to say like every time?
Yeah. I mean, no, not 100%.
Okay.
But it
I
was...
just wondered if you could like, you know, ring, 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 ring.
Oh, first of all, it was a boop
oh,
in
I'm
your
sorry.
Ear.
Boop.
And then I would cry. Please, God, no, not another day of this. Anyhow, one of the cool things that happened, though, from working that job is that I eventually was working for this department. We had more free time to talk to each other, your cubicle mates. And there was this guy named Reese who loved webcomics, and he introduced me to several of them. So every day I had 15 to 20 that I would keep up with because that was my life. But there's only one or two that I still to this day go back every single week and stay up with. And one of them is called Gunnar Krigg Court. I highly recommend it. It's free online webcomic. Of course, he's got like Patreon if you want to support him and stuff like that, which he's an awesome artist. His name is Tom Seidel, I believe is how it's pronounced. He lives in England. Gunnar Krigg Court, GunnerKrigg. Gunnar Krigg Court. I'll tweet it so you guys can find it. But it's just really well done. And I love webcomics that have been going for as long as this one has. I think he started in like 2005 or something.
That can kind of be intimidating, though, if you've never like... You know what I mean? It's kind of like a TV show. Like for me, The Sopranos is this way, where it's like I've never seen an episode of The Sopranos. I know it's supposed to be amazing. I just can't fathom going back to season one, episode one,
right,
and watching, you know, 10 full seasons of the. You know what I mean?
Like, see, I love it. I love being able to go back and just binge read.
Mm-hmm.
And webcomics are different because you've got like maybe one. Page is like three panels, so it goes pretty quick depending on, and if you like it, it goes faster. So this is just a really fun story. The main character is this young girl, and she, you know, she's lives in this really interesting environment where there's nature separated from industrial, and you just kind of are introduced to the weird otherworldly characters that are there at play, and you're kind of following her from her youth into like growing into a woman. Now, I started reading this, I think, in 2009.
Mm.
And so it had been going for a few years, and he still releases Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So super good. Some really, really beautiful art. Some really, really beautiful character development. Personally, I think this is one of the best out there. There's a lot out there that I've read and I still read, but this one is the one I'll talk about today.
Can you give like a general genre? Like, is it court as in like a street that you live on, or court as in like a king's court, or like what's kind of the genre? What can I expect from this story?
Cool stuff.
Does it take place in space, on Earth? Is it, you know
it
what I mean?
It takes like, place in, you start off in like this industrial world, like where the kids are going to school together.
Just
and
like a university he's
like
building.
Like a university of some kind. And then it's like in this major, like, you personally, he hasn't developed the entire world. It's you go where she goes. So you're kind of seeing what it's all about.
But does it feel modern? Does it feel like a modern story?
Yeah.
And it feels like kind of like an alternate universe.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool.
Sure. That's how
I just got to where about maybe a year ago I could actually read comics digitally. So I'll have to check this out.
Yeah. And it's super age appropriate for, yeah. I mean, this is not a comic that would be like adult rated. This is one that if you have kids that like to, you know, read stuff like this is super, super appropriate for all of that.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I still read comics, but it's just comics have gotten a lot more expensive and just finding time to go to the comic store. And so I signed up for that Marvel Unlimited, which if you don't know about that, it's like it's basically every Marvel comic in digital form. And I think the newer ones, they pop up on there like after like 2 months or something. And you just pay like a subscription. So it's just a subscription service.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of how I got myself to start reading stuff digitally. And but yeah, no, this sounds really interesting.
Well, and it's also interesting because like what you're talking about, Jonathan, the idea that comics themselves, like the idea of like a comic shop comic, you know, DC, mm-hmm. Marvel, that kind of thing, has increasingly finally embraced kind of the digital age, and they have their readers, oh, yeah, and those kind of things. But web comics kind of push that forward, and they're a totally different genre because, you know, they are birthed from the internet. You know, they're not birthed from printing houses. Mm-hmm. And so it's interesting to see how web comics have influenced, mm-hmm, the whole comic scene. And, you know, they kind of showed the big boys in the comic world that, oh, there's something powerful here about, you know, having instant access every Monday, Wednesday and Friday to a new panel, you know. And so it's almost much more Sunday funnies than it is.
That's what,
you know,
it sounds
Marvel,
like. Yeah.
Comics.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I would agree with that. I decided to go to Wikipedia to read their description because I feel like I should do them a better service. It's a science fantasy webcomic.
Okay.
It follows Antimony Carver, a young girl who has started attending a school at a strange and mysterious place called Gunner Creek Court, and the events that unfold around her as she becomes embroiled in political intrigues between the Gunner Creek Court and the inhabitants of the Wildwood.
Okay. So there's a very much a fantasy element,
yes,
to it. Okay.
I love that you always have something that's like, I don't know, just different than just a film or a TV show.
Oh, good. Thanks. Because I get worried about that, and I don't. I
don't
mean,
know.
I
think it's great.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Well, I
because there's more to pop culture than, you know.
It's true.
I even thought about recommending a book. So I mean,
no,
yeah.
Don't do it, Jonathan. A book.
There are a few of us that still read.
That's going to do it for Behind the Sins this week. Don't forget to make sure you are subscribed to the podcast. Wherever you listen, make sure you hit the subscribe button. Also, go ahead and leave a comment or a rating for us. Throw some stars at us as well. You can hang out with us on Twitter. I'm at Aaron Dicer. She is at Danae Says, and he is at Sam Loomis 13. So for Jonathan Watkins, Danae Hughes, and myself, we're going to see you next week.
Thanks for listening. Send any feedback to behindthesinspod@gmail.com and be sure to subscribe or message us at Twitter. And be sure to visit cinemasins.com.
That's all I'm asking for.
Just a little miracle.
Just a little miracle.
Car repairs are expensive.
They always come when you don't have any money.
Yeah, we're getting ready to head on vacation, which is when we always do our car repairs because we don't want it breaking, yeah, down on vacation.
That's stupid.
Your wisdom is unwisdomable.
We just rent cars.
Yeah, I wish we were there. The problem is our family size. We can't rent a car. We,
yeah,
have to rent a van.
That's true. Yeah, you would be in a much different situation than the three of us.
The cheapest we're going to find for a week is, you know, like $1,200. Yeah, if we had just not had as many kids.
Yeah,
you know,
screwed that up.
We messed that up big time.
You should let them know that every day.
That's right. You younger two really wish you weren't here.
If I were the king of the forest.
It's marriage is interesting. It's a very interesting, mm-hmm, project.
It's annoying.
It is that too sometimes.
I'm glad I have somebody to help me do life. Like somebody to witness my high moments, my low moments, all that stuff. But people are hard to love.
When you say people, you also mean yourself, right? Like,
of course.
You're not thinking of your husband. You're thinking that both of you are difficult to love sometimes.
Hey, let's change topics and talk about donuts.
I should probably pray.
I thought you were going to say pray.
I did too.
Are you going to pray for our podcast today?
Dear Lord.
Is that a new thing we're doing?
Yes. At the beginning of Behind the Sins, we have group prayer.
Can you imagine?
I don't know why that's so funny, but that is really cracking me up.
It is. You rarely like lose it.
That is really funny because I do have situations in my life, obviously, where we have group prayer. Like it's a thing,
yeah,
that happens in my life, but it would be so foreign to this moment. I think it's just tickling me. That's hilarious.
Well, hey, we'll do it for the first time at Sins Week.
That's right.